Good morning, church.
Good morning.
As been said, my name is Alyssa Burkle, part of the preaching team here at the table. And it's my great privilege and joy to proclaim good news to us today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. By show of hands, how many of you have seen the 2001 Baz Luhrmann cult classic movie, Moulin Rouge? Yeah, quite a few of us. So it's not a kid's movie, so if you haven't seen it, it's not a kid's movie. But there's a line in it that's been rattling around in my head as it relates to this sermon. And that line is, the greatest thing you'll ever learn is just to love and to be loved in return. Last week, we heard Father Matt proclaim good news from 1 John that sin is an identity crisis. Sin is incompatible with who we are as children of God. If last week's message was about the identity crisis of sin, this week's message is about how we are to live as children of God in light of the great love that we've been given and are invited into by the risen and ascended Christ. But while learning to love and be loved might be the greatest thing we'll ever learn, it's certainly not the easiest. End sermon illustration. Today we are going to focus in on the next 1 John reading in the lectionary, 1 John 3, 16 through 24. As children of God, we are called to believe in the name of Jesus Christ and to love one another. This is a single commandment in two parts, but it's also an invitation. What are we invited into? What does God hope for us in this? Today we proclaim the good news that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we are sheltered and surrounded by the love of God. Allow your hearts to stay open and abide in the reality of the rule and reign of love with me today so we can live into a new way of being human together. Amen. What we are called into through this commandment is the goodness of the rule and reign of love personified in Jesus, who laid down his life for us. Jesus laying down his life for us, our reading says, shows us what love is, both as an example for us to follow and the means by which we enter into the rule and reign of God. This is how we know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our siblings. In other words, when we lay down our lives for our fellow believers, we are participating in the death of Christ. Andrew Rolera, in his book, Lamb of the Free, writes, John does not talk about Jesus' death as something Jesus did so that others do not have to, but rather as something others can unite in and actively participate in. Since he laid down his life for us, we are also obligated to lay down our lives for our siblings. John does not just mean this in the sense of be willing to die to benefit someone else, but to share the means of survival and life with those in need. Did you catch that? He's saying that laying down our lives doesn't mean to die for another, but to do whatever it takes so that we both can live together and flourish. He continues, it is a mistake to think that the love of God is something merely private to individuals. To walk just as Jesus walked means to love as God loves. This love puts shoes on and walks towards others according to the pattern set by Jesus' death. This is limitless and self-emptying love that extends to all the cosmos. In other words, there is something mystical about the love of God for us in Jesus. Somehow God's love demonstrated in this way unites our suffering with Jesus' suffering and the suffering of others. As children of God and as siblings in Christ, we are bound together in ways we aren't even fully aware of. This is because the gospel is love. N.T. Wright writes, we are who we are as Christians simply and solely because of God's love, because Jesus, out of love, laid down his life for us. Love is not something extra tacked on to the gospel. Love is the gospel. Love is the very center. not to love both when obvious opportunity offers and when it doesn't, is to show that God's love is not, after all, abiding in you. Today we proclaim the good news that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we are sheltered and surrounded by the love of God. Allow your hearts to stay open and abide in the reality of the rule and reign of love with me today, so we can live into a new way of being human together. Let's stop and check in with our bodies for a second. How's everyone feeling? Maybe a little guilty or anxious? Maybe just a scotch? When I think about the kind of love that Jesus loves us with and how we are called to love, I feel that I fall very short. 1 John calls this having our hearts condemn us. Beloved, does your heart condemn you this morning? Take heart, God is greater than our hearts. What's that mean? The good news is that no matter what bad news lives in your body, God's good news is ready and waiting to break in and overcome death with life. The bad news is I don't really believe that. So, as I've been preparing this sermon, I've been asking myself questions like, what is God hoping for in this text? What are we invited into? We are invited into abiding with God by his Spirit and love, and we respond as children of God by believing in the name of Jesus and loving one another, like verse 23 tells us. God hopes that we will trust him by loving one another. They are inseparable. The problem is I have absolutely no idea how to do any of that. You know, I don't know. I have this belief deep down that I'm incapable of love. Anytime I try to love someone, I'll just mess it up and make everything worse. I'll just end up hurting someone. So while longing for community and connection, I keep everyone at arm's length. And I keep thoughts like, don't get too close. It'll just hurt worse when you inevitably screw it up and it all blows up. I don't know how to let God just love me and meet me in my messy reality there. I don't trust that he wants what is good for me and longs to love me through others. I don't trust that he wants to love others through me, despite my ever-present bumbling awkwardness and social anxiety and weirdness. Can anyone relate? Maybe that's it. Maybe that's the whole sermon. Let's practice loving one another, trusting that God is meeting us in our messy realities. Because verse 18 says, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. That word for truth, and I'm going to mispronounce this, aletheia, means in reality. In other words, real love isn't just thoughts or communication, but it's active and it's based in reality. God is greater than our hearts. God knows what is really happening in reality, not what we want to happen or what we wish had happened or what we hope will happen, but what is really happening. No matter how our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, greater than the shame that follows us, greater than our core beliefs about ourselves, greater than our fears. Today we proclaim the good news that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we are sheltered and surrounded by the love of God. Allow your hearts to stay open and abide in the reality of the rule and reign of love with me today, so we can live into a new way of being human together. If our hearts don't condemn us, because God is greater than our hearts, we can boldly ask for help and receive from him whatever we ask, including wisdom for how to love and be loved. Will you join me in asking for that today? Will you join me in courageously keeping our hearts open to the rule and reign of love? More about that later. So how do we do this? Like I said, I don't know. But I've seen and experienced love like this here at the table. Grave illness, life-altering diagnoses, surgery, parenting help, job transitions, deaths of loved ones, meal trains, moving, prayer requests, stolen cars, and birthday wishes in GroupMe. I've witnessed people telling the truth about themselves with all their brokenness and shame, and being immediately loved, cared for, and carried in our DNA groups. These are all beautiful ways this community has rallied around and supported and loved one another. At the same time, I know we all come to this place with layers of hurt, communication styles and preferences, past traumas, pride, and shame that all get in the way of learning how to love and be loved in return. Today we proclaim the good news that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we are sheltered and surrounded by the love of God. Allow your hearts to stay open and abide in the reality of the rule and reign of love with me today so we can live into a new way of being human together. So how can we respond to this good news? How can we love one another? Maybe a place to start would just be to tell another person about your current reality today. Tell me after the service, tell one of the rectors, tell someone in your DNA group or table group. Also, in verse 23, we hear the first part of the commandment to love one another is to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Believing in the name means to entrust yourself to God while committing yourself to the rule and reign of love, which is the kingdom of God. Where do you need the rule and reign of love to break through today? Finally, as we close, I wanted to circle back to verse 17. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? The Greek for refuses to help means something like to shut off one's heart. Don't close your heart to the rule and reign of love today, beloved. I know it's scary. I know it's hard. I know there's many unknowns with loving each other. But let's consent to the rule and reign of love by trusting that God, who is greater than our hearts, is inviting us into something beautiful and good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.